And we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to know you through your word. Speak to our heart. I have our Bibles open, our hearts open to receive your insight, your wisdom for your word. And fulfill our heart with the Holy Spirit. Let him manifest in our lives that we may be more like Jesus, less like ourselves. We also pray for our troops around the world as we greet Jimmy Laverty. And we pray that all of our troops come back to their family, to their home, soon, safe and sound. And we also pray for our law enforcement and the firefighters around this community for their safety. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 25. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone, underline, from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You will take my offering. Underline the whole thing, please. Verse 3. And this is an offering which you shall take from them in gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, all for the light and the spices for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense, onyx stone, and the stone to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary. Note that. Let them make me a sanctuary, please. That I may dwell among them. Underline dwell, please. I may dwell among them. According to all that I saw you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and pattern of all its furnishings, just so that you shall make it. Israel has been out of their slavery from the Egypt several months now. And they were told by God they need to contribute to build the sanctuary. In other words, this is a building project. Amazing thing about this, the Israeli people, when they were asked to give to God, they brought so much that Moses, literally down in the other books, he had to tell them, stop bringing these things, contribution. As far as I know, that never happened to us and other churches. There were times I get a report from our office manager, and then I kind of think, okay, who did I offend this time? Because it was so low. But these people brought this contribution from their heart. Folks, our giving should not be done because somebody is making us feel guilty or just trying to shut them up. But rather, we should give it to the Lord because of our willing heart. Our willing heart. If you are not giving God your tithes and offerings because you want to or because you feel led to, unless you feel you want to or led to, if you're doing it because of guilty conscience, don't do it. God doesn't need your money. Certainly, he doesn't need your money to run the universe or to get his job done in the kingdom of God. You're the one who's missing out because you're giving it with a grudging heart. If you do it with a willing heart, you're the one who's going to get blessed by it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Some of you guys already know this by heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. 2 Corinthians is located way in the New Testament, right before Galatians, right after 1 Corinthians. Verse 7, rather. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart. Note the word, he purposed in his heart. That means you calculate, you make a move, you give to God because you want to give it to God, not because somebody make you to do it. He purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves cheerful givers. Let's go back to the Exodus. Our God is a rich God who doesn't need our contribution to do His work. But He wants us to use our willing heart. He used a willing heart to support His work on kingdom. When we become a givers, as we become more like God, because God is the greatest giver in the universe. And you have any doubt? May I remind you, John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His what? Only begotten Son. How many of us give up our only child for somebody else who hates us? No one. None of us. Somebody who is very smart, calculate what kinds of costs would build this tabernacle and Ark of a Covenant. And they came up with a $13 million. That's a lot of money to donate in one time. Our first reaction would be, where these people came up with this kinds of money? They just come out from this slavery in Egypt. Remember, when they left, they pretty much wiped out the entire Egyptian economy. For 400 years, they were slaves, and they were not paid for 400 years. This is a back pay, the back pay wage they are getting, and they pretty much stripped the entire economy of Egypt, and they walked out. That's what they're giving to this their God. The pattern of tabernacle was according to heavenly reality. It was a copy and copy and a shadow of a heavenly throne. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Hebrews 8, 5. Don't sit there looking at me like I'm not turning the Bible. You're the one who's missing out if you don't turn your Bible. Everybody there? Okay. Who served the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make a tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. This means what they had the tabernacle in the wilderness is pretty much a scaled version of what we would see in heaven. Then we have to wonder, does God dwell in this tabernacle, 30 cubits wide and 60 cubits long? Does God stay in that little place? God who can hold the entire universe in the palm of His hand. Would God come down and stay in that kind of small place? Can God be contained in a small confined area? Absolutely not. We have to remember, the word we just read, the word dwelt. Dwelt is a very important word in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Why? Because it said He will dwell. That doesn't mean He will actually move in and close the door and, okay, set up I'm going to put the couch here, I'm going to put the bed here. No, He doesn't do that. He said He will meet us there. He will meet Moses, people of Israel, from the tabernacle. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, please. Book of John is located right after Book of Luke and before Book of Acts in New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 14. You there? Before we go to the verse 14, we should have studied verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So far, the Word is word pronoun is it, right? And the Word was God. All of a sudden, the Word was God is changing. And then pronoun is completely changed from it to He. He was in the beginning with God. Who would that be? Who is this He? Verse 3, all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shined in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Who would that be? Who is this he? It's Jesus. Jesus is the light, and Jesus is the was God, and he was dwelled with God from the beginning. Now, go to with that concept, the Word, that is Jesus, go to verse 14. And the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh, in other words, incarnate, dwelt among us, underline dwelt, please, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and glory as of the only begotten of Father, full of grace and truth. I actually underlined that word dwelt. That is the same dwelt in the word we find in Moses, book of Exodus. This word, the dwelt, is when you look at the Hebrew word and the Greek word, it's the same word as a tabernacle. You get it? God tabernacle, God dwelt among us. Jesus dwelt among us. I had to ask this question to God when I was studying this. And what is the purpose of you having setting the tabernacle in the midst of this Israeli people, 2 million people in the wilderness? Can you just talk to them from the pillar of cloud? Yes, he could. But he rather dwell with them. He rather be with the people. Just like Jesus rather be with us than just being in the distant God. You follow me? He took a flesh form and dwelt within us, with us in New Testament. This is the picture of the tabernacle, is a picture of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to find next few chapters. Everything about the tabernacle is Jesus Christ. Don't just think that tabernacle is just some old furnishing or the funny looking tent. It's more than that. This is a description of Jesus Christ. We'll keep that in mind, and we'll continue in verse 10. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, note that, and 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and cubit and a half its width, and cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay with the pure gold inside and out, you shall overlay it. You shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast the 4 rings of gold forward and put it in all its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, 2 rings on the other side. God is very specific how it needs to be done. And you shall make a poles of the acacia wood, overlay them with the gold. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the side of the ark, and the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark of ark the testimony which I will give you. And he even said what kinds of content it should be in. First item, the most single most important item of the whole tabernacle is the Ark of Covenant. Ark or the Ark of Covenant, Ark the Testimony, they're all the same. This is molded, this is the throne of grace, and representing throne of grace. 3 foot 9 inches long, and 2 feet 3 inches deep, and the height would be the same thing. Made of acacia wood and gold. Ark of God, Ark of Covenant, is essentially a box. Ark means a box. It's not a boat. You know, Noah's Ark, somehow we think that it's a boat. No, it's not. Noah's Ark is also Noah's box. He said make it out of the acacia wood. Acacia wood is so dense. I don't know much about wood, but this is what I was told. Acacia wood is so dense, the bug does not like it. And pest does not like it, so it does not rot that easily. Acacia wood, that means this wood does not rot. Keep that in mind. What is the purpose of having a wood and gold layer? Wood represents humanity. In the Bible, Gold represents deity in the Bible. However, this humanity does not rot. That means the wood without pests, a whole lot of pests. That means humanity without sin. You with me? So when they were supposed to make up this box, 2 feet 3 inches long, 2 feet 3 inches high, and 3 feet 9 inches long, that ark, the box, when they made it out of the acacia wood, and the layer with the gold, two materials not mingled together. Are you with me so far? This is very important. They are not mingled together. They are completely separate, wood and gold. Think about Jesus. Jesus is 100% what? God, 100% man. It was not half and half. For example, I'm going ahead of myself. The Ark of God is a perfect symbol of Jesus Christ. You know, the central, the half man, half horse. That was from the Greek mythology, Greek myth. Now, it was half and half. Our Jesus Christ is not half man, half God. It's 100% God, 100% human. And you may say, how can it be? Well, that's why he's God and you ain't. You get it? Jesus Christ is not merely wonder miracle worker, or nor he was overly conscious God-man. But he was God, and he is God. If you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, whole Christianity is out the window. That's what the cult is trying to portray. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a great role model. If Jesus is a great role model and he claimed to be a God, he's a liar. That's not such a thing, such a good role model or the good teacher. And some of you, some people who do not know the Bible well say, well, Jesus never claimed to be a God. And I like to say, how much time do you have for me to show it to you from the four Gospels that he claimed that he is God? I would like to know how much time you have. Because he claimed time after time he is God. Even the Pharisee knew, that's why they tried to stone him. Same time, he is God. Same time, he is perfectly human. He got angry, and he got hungry, like I am now. He got thirsty, he got sleepy, he got tired, he wept. These are all human characteristics. The content of the ark was also symbolic. When you open the Ark of Covenant, you would find the three items. Number one would be the Aaron's rod that were budded, that represent Jesus' resurrection. And manna in the golden bowl speaks of Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Ten Commandments, the law, the life of Jesus lived on the earth, that fulfilled in the law and all points, and they're also fulfilling the prophecies spoken of him. The interesting about these three items, Aaron's rod, manna, as well as the Ten Commandments, all of them involved with the rebellion. And you may say, what are you talking about? Aaron's rod, they went against him. So Korah said, are you the only one, you and Aaron, the only one who has authority? What can we have authority? So rebel against him. And of course, God Moses present Aaron's rod that budded. Manna, people complain time after time. So they rebel against God. When the Ten Commandments was written by the finger of God in the Mount Sinai, what happened in the in the base camp. They were having an orgy. They were having this golden calf worshiping ceremony. The pole should be remained on the side of the Ark of Covenant, and that's the only point of contact. They are not supposed to carry by hand. They are not supposed to carry by the cart. They are only carried by on the priest's shoulder. Put the pole on their shoulder, and four men carry this thing wherever they go. Let's continue verse 17. You shall make a mercy seat, note the word mercy seat, of pure gold, and 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make a 2 cherubim of gold, hammered work, that you shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherub on one end, the other cherub at the other end. And you shall make a cherubim on one at the 2 ends of it, and one piece with the mercy seat. And cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, in covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The face of cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark that you shall put in the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet you, I'll meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from the between the 2 cherubim, which are the ark of testimony, about everything which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. When someone hears the mercy seat, it's common for the people to think, that is that an actual sitting? Is that a chair? No, it's not chair. That's what I thought, because I was so ignorant for the Bible. This is the gold, to be exact, this is the gold cover, pure gold cover for the Ark of Covenant. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, which is Passover, the high priest will walk into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on top of the mercy seat. When he does that, remember, Ark of Covenant represents Jesus Christ, what he's done. And the pure gold, the covers on the top, which is represent the deity of Jesus Christ, and sprinkling the blood, that pretty much portrait of what? Crucifixion. You follow me? That is a crucifixion, portrait of crucifixion, and God sees that, and the sacrifice is done for a year. For 1 year. Because that was not blood of Jesus Christ, it was rather it's blood of animal. For 1 year, your sins have been forgiven. And next year, they have to do the same thing all over again. The phrase, the mercy seat, also means propitiation. It's a fancy word. The fulfillment of this is done when the Jesus Christ died on once and for all for our sins and for the world, and took away the sins by the sacrifice of himself. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. And some of you are thinking, are you going to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23? Close, not quite. Verse 25. Chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because of in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Did you get it? That's why. Let's go back to Exodus, verse chapter 25. Some of you are thinking, "Are we about done?" No, I finished about half. You shall. Verse 23, you shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with gold and make a molding of gold all around. Verse 25, you shall make of it in the frame of the hand breadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the flame, a frame all around. You shall make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings on the 4 corners that are on its 4 legs. and the rings shall be closed to the frame, and the holders of the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and the table may be carried with them. You shall make its dish, and its pan, its pitcher, its bowls for pouring. You shall make them pure gold, and you shall set the showbread on the table before me always. If you're going to, if you kind of look at it as a floor plan of the tabernacle, this is what you would see. Thank you. This would be outer court fence, and we will see that more in detail next time. And inside, there will be the outer court here. It will burn the altar of burnt offering, and it's a bronze laver. And with, this is the actual tabernacle. Within the tabernacle, it's divided in half, and one side and the other side is the holy place and the most holy place, or also known as Holy of Holy. Inside of the most holy place, and you see the Ark of the Covenant, and the holy place, you will see the incense altar and showbread table, which we just read, and there is a gold lampstand. So with that in mind, we'll continue. This lampstand, I'm sorry, the showbread table, is a place for the worship. And the holy place is a place of worship. Gold lampstand is one of the perfect picture of Jesus Christ. And the lampstand at this showbread table is talking about bread of life. It's again, representing Jesus Christ. 12 cakes need to be made. Unleavened bread. Without leaven. That means no sins can be present in the holy place. And also incense altar represent Jesus Christ as praying for us as intercessor in heaven. This table, acacia wood, is about 3 foot long and 1.5 foot wide and 2 foot 3 inches high, same height as the Ark of the Covenant. According to Leviticus 24, verse 5 through 9, showbread is made in a fine flour, 12 of them, and sprinkled with a light frankincense. It needs to be replaced every Passover, and the only people who can eat this is the priest in the holy place. No one else. Bread is a reminder that God fed people spiritually and physically. And the showbread speaks that Jesus Christ is a life sustainer. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He said, he declared that I am the bread of life. Let's go back to the Exodus. Verse 31. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be the hammered work, its shaft, its branch, its bowl, and its ornamental knob, and the flower shall be of one piece. And 6 branches shall come out of its side, 3 branches of the lampstand out of the one side, and 3 branches of lamp on the other side, out of the other side. 3 bowls shall be made like almond blossom on the one branch, and with the ornamental knob and the flower, and 3 bowls made like an almond blossom on the other branch, with the ornamental knob and the flower. And so for the 6 branches that come out of the lampstand. On the lampstand itself, 4 bowls shall be made like an almond blossom, each with an ornamental knob and a flower. And there shall be a knob under the first 2 branches of the same, knob under the 2nd branches of the same, and knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that extend from the lampstand. And their knob and their branches shall be in of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make 7 lamps of it, for it. It shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their tray shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of the talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which shown you on the mountain. Some of the Bible translations say the candlestick, especially if you have a King James Version, it will say candlestick. The proper translation should be the lampstand. Local churches represent the individual golden lampstand. Why do I say that? Because when you read the book of Revelations, from the chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3, you see that each lampstand is representing local churches. This lampstand in holy places speaks of Jesus Christ, the light of the dark world. For the oil that burns in the lamp is representing the Holy Spirit. Israel is to be the light of to the Gentile, but they failed that mission. Folks, as a believer of Jesus Christ, we are the light of the world. And Jesus never said that you become the light of the world. He just simply declared that we are the light of the world. We are the salt and light of the world. So when you and I studied the word together, Jesus Christ, we studied about the person of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens us, gives the wisdom to understand the Bible. He is the one who will give us oil to understand, to light up that our heart so that we may understand. Let's make an application. Number one, our giving should not be done because somebody made us feel guilty or shut them up, but rather, we should give it to the Lord because our willing heart compels us. Number two, the Bible is incredibly engineered by God to the point Jesus Christ as God. It declares it left and right. As the light of the world, the sustainer of our lives, and the savior of this dying world. Folks, if somebody ever tried to tell you Jesus is not God, you simply walk away from him because you don't want to mingle with the darkness. Let's stand up and pray.